Mark Bean, and he will be talking about integrating soil and water information into canopy sensing algorithms for improving corn nitrogen rate recommendations.
All right, very good. I was excited to be on this project. As a graduate student, I didn't really know what I was coming into, and I can't think of another place where I could have gone under Dr. Kitchen and been on a regional project where I've traveled around to all these different states, except for Indiana, unfortunately, I've been there, and talked to so many soil scientists and so many project lead investigators with this project. And thanks to DuPont Pioneer for funding my education. So with that, I'm going to talk about integrating soil and weather information into canopy sensor algorithms, and this is just specifically for corn. And to really understand the story of my research, you have to understand the interaction between canopy sensors and algorithms. So the sensors, they collect light reflected off of the crop canopy, and so you would collect this reflectance both off of an enriched or an insufficient part of the field, we call it an enriched strip. And then also reflectance data, you would gather that from the farmer practice, or what we call the target part of the field. And then the algorithms, they use that relationship between the enrich and the target to come up with the in-season nitrogen rate application. So this is in a research setting, but you can apply it to production agriculture as well. The idea you'll see with that red circle in the bottom left part of the screen, where canopy sensors are, the idea is to go through the field, they're collecting this reflectance data, and simultaneously these algorithms are coming up with an in-season nitrogen rate recommendation, and then the applicator applies it then and there. So I had two main objectives for this presentation or for my research. One is just to evaluate the overall performance of a few of these different publicly available algorithms, and then the next was to see if we couldn't take soil and weather information to make a stronger, more robust algorithm. And I'm going to breeze through the materials and methods so we can get to the good stuff. So again, 16 sites over 8 Midwest states were used, and I'm just looking at the 2014 data. The canopy sensing was done at growth stage V9 with a rapid scan built by Holland Scientific. And the enrich reference was calculated using an average of those three nitrogen rates. And then we wanted to see how well the sensor or the algorithms performed when we used a 0 kilograms of N at hectare or per hectare at planting as our target, and also how well they performed when we used the 45 kilograms of N per hectare at planting. And then because some of the algorithms we used were originally developed using different sensors, we had to transform the sensor data that the rapid scan collected to be the equivalent of that original sensor the algorithm was developed with. And then our EONR, just like the other presentations you've seen, was calculated using a quadratic plateau regression with $4 corn and 40 cent per pound nitrogen. So in the soil information that I specifically looked at in my research was both surgo-based and within-field measured-based. And the three main soil properties I looked at was percent organic matter, percent clay, and then plant available water content. Those pictures there are of the Soil Health Assessment Center in Missouri. And then whether it was surrogo soil data or the actual within-field measured data, it was looked at and analyzed by those three depths. The weather information was collected using a HoboLink weather station. There was one at each site, so 16 different weather stations. And then the data we used from the weather collected was from date of planting to date of sensing. And then these are some of the variables that we included in our analysis. And for those of you who aren't familiar with the Shannon Diversity Index, it's the evenness of rainfall or precipitation over a given amount of time. And then the abundant well-distributed rainfall is the Shannon Diversity Index multiplied by total precipitation. The three algorithms we looked at was the one from University of Missouri. This is considered a linear model. Has very few inputs, mainly just the reflectance data. And then we looked at the Holland Scientific, or some people refer to it as the Holland Shepherd's algorithm. It's considered a quadratic model, and there's several inputs. N-opt, as you see there, could be an EONR value or the max nitrogen rate a farmer would apply to their field. And N-credit could be a previous legume crop or manure. This algorithm was developed so you could use multiple different vegetative indices. And here we used NDVI, but we could have used NDRE or even the chlorophyll index. But for this research, we did the NDVI. And then the Oklahoma State University algorithm, which is considered an exponential model or algorithm, and it has several inputs. It uses the growing degree days and the reflectance data to come up with something called an NC, or an in-season yield potential. And it also uses an NUE, or nitrogen use efficiency percentage. We calculated first the residuals, and then we used those residuals and modeled them as a function of all those different weather and soil variables that you saw to try to explain why the algorithm and the UNR was different. And then we used the most significant soil and weather variables to adjust the algorithm. And so when I show you the results, I'm going to show you first how well the algorithms performed using the 45 kilograms of nitrogen at planting, and then I'll show you how well they did when we didn't use, or when we used the zero in at planting as our target plots. So on the x-axis you have the algorithm recommendation, on the y you have UNR, both in kilograms per hectare. And then that solid dark line that dissects the graph in half, that's again our one-to-one line. And so ideally the scatter, that pattern, and pay attention to the pattern as we go throughout the presentation, but ideally all of those sites would have fallen on that one-to-one line, or at least close to, suggesting that the algorithm did a pretty decent job of predicting UNR. And then everything above the line suggests that it was underestimating what UNR should have been or was, and then everything below the line suggests that it overestimated what UNR was. And in the top right-hand corner, you'll see the RMSE, or the root mean square error, and that's in kilograms of N per hectare. And pay attention to those numbers as we go throughout the presentation as well. So this is, again, the Missouri algorithm. This is the Holland Scientific algorithm. Same, similar pattern, but shifted over to the left with the higher RMSE. And then this is the Oklahoma State algorithm. Again, similar pattern, shifted even farther over with an even higher RMSE. And then shifting to when we used the 0 kilograms of N at planting as our target plot, you can see the algorithms did a better job of estimating UNR. More of those sites fall into the one-to-one line, and the RMSE decreases, suggesting that they're getting better. Same with the Holland Scientific. It shifts over to the right for more sites to fall into that line. And the OSU algorithm did improve a little bit, by 5 kilograms of N per hectare, but not nearly as much as the other algorithms. So knowing this, the next part of the story is to see how we can make these a little bit better, these algorithms, or encourage them, I guess, to perform better. So the summary for the first objective is there was a difference between the algorithms. The Missouri algorithm performed the best, and then followed by the Holland Scientific and then the OSU. And then while there is an order to how well they performed, they all generally underestimated what UNR was. And then when they could see a difference at planting, the N rates, when the sensor saw a difference between the target plot and the N-rich plot, the algorithms did a better job at predicting UNR. And so now our goal is to take this soils information that we collected over the region, and you'll see on the left the Missouri soil from one of our clay pan sites compared to the soils that we collected from a Nebraska, one of our Nebraska sites. And we want to take the variables from these soils and apply them, not only the soils but also the weather, the amount of rainfall and the distribution of rainfall, and improve these algorithms. So once we model the residuals with each algorithm at the two different target end rates, you can see on this table of significance which variables came back being significant. So for the surrogate variables, you can see that it was scattered among algorithms, which was significant. For the measured variables, it was consistently percent organic matter that came back being significant. And for the weather variables, it was the Shannon Diversity Index, in most cases, was significant. So, and due to time, I'm only going to show you the Missouri algorithm with these adjustments. So, and this is using the weather information and surrogo at the 45 kilograms of N at planting target rate. So this is the original algorithm that you've seen before, and you'll notice at the bottom I have the adjustment highlighted in yellow. And so this is the original Missouri adjusted with the weather information. Those sites fall closer to the one-to-one line, and the root mean square error gets lower or smaller. This is with the algorithm with just Sergo information added, and again, it improves the algorithm. And then this is the Missouri algorithm with both weather and Sergo information added, and it becomes the best out of the Sergo, or out of the adjusted algorithms when we use Sergo and weather information. And then when we look at the measured soil properties that came back being significant coupled with weather, again, this is the original Missouri algorithm, and then added with weather or adjusted with weather, and then this is the Missouri algorithm adjusted with measured soil data, and then with measured soil data and weather. And for Missouri, this was the most robust algorithm that we came up with the root mean square error of 33. And so you can see how well the other algorithms compared to Missouri, or how well they performed with these adjustments. We have a few bar charts for you. So on your y-axis is the RMSE, and on the x-axis is the algorithms with their adjustments. The first group is just the original algorithm. The second group is the algorithms plus soil. Then the third is with algorithms plus weather. And then the fourth group is the algorithms plus soil and weather. And this, as you can see, the title of the chart is just with the Sergo using the 45 kilograms of N target plots. And you can see that the adjustments greatly enhanced the algorithms. The RMSEs lowered. They became better predictors of UNR. And then this is the same Sergo information combined with weather, but using 0 kilograms of N at planting as our target plots. And the algorithms, while they improved when we adjusted them, there wasn't as drastic of a change with these target plots as there was with the 45 kilograms of N at planting target plots. So, and then if we look at the measured soil data at these same rates, you can see that there's similar patterns between the measured soil data and the Sergo data. In most cases, the measured data combined with the weather performed the best than compared to the Sergo and weather. And then to conclude, overall the algorithms alone without any adjustments were very mediocre in their estimation of UNR. They performed better on plots that didn't receive any nitrogen at planting, and we think that's because the sensors could tell a bigger difference between the N-rich and the target plots. And when we added soil or weather into the algorithms, they improved, but they were best when we added both soil and weather together into the algorithm. And then in most cases, the measured soil variables gave us or adjusted the algorithm better than Sergo soil variables. And then above all, the whole goal of my project or research was to take soil and weather information on a regional or macro scale, along with soil information or differences that a canopy sensor might see within field, or within field variability or on a micro scale, and time together to make a better, more informed in-season nitrogen recommendation. So with that, again, there's too many people to list for acknowledgments, and I'll take any questions.
Any questions?
Sure. I'm not sure I have a good answer for you. I'm not a statistician, and talking with my advisor and other graduate students, that was kind of the consensus that we came up with, was just to use RMSE. I think we're open to other ideas, but I'm not sure why we just chose that. Yeah. My advisor is directly behind you, so maybe. Yes, sir. Sure. So we included percent organic matter, and this is both from Sergo and within field soil measurements. We had percent organic matter, percent clay, and then plant available water content at three depths. So 0 to 1 foot or 30 centimeters, 0 to 60, and then 0 to 90.
So you got water also from clay and organic
matter. Yep.
Yeah,
so when we calculated the residuals and modeled them as a function of those soil variables, the ones that came back significant, we modeled EONR as a function of the algorithm plus those variables, and then used the slope and intercept corrections to to make our adjusted algorithm.
One final question.
Have you taken your adjusted model and tried it at predicting on other end studies that you've done in the past?
That's a good question. So that's the next step. Once we get this 2015 year's data in, we're going to rerun all the stats with two-thirds of the sites and then use the algorithm that we come up with those two-thirds for those sites and then run that algorithm for the remaining third. That's the plan.
Thank you.